Good morning. The time is 8:16. For our morning interview, KCAW's Rachel Cassandra talked with Sander Katz, fermentation guru, about his work and the joys of fermentation.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Cassandra, and you're listening to the morning interview here at Raven Radio KCAW Sitka. Today we have a guest in the studio, Sander Katz, and we're very excited to have him.
Well, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. And what would you say your title is?
I like to call myself a fermentation revivalist.
Great. And can you start by just telling me a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, sure. I've written a couple of books about fermentation and discovered that there's a huge hunger for practical information about fermentation. Increasingly people are recognizing the importance of living fermented foods to restore biodiversity in the gut, which can help improve digestion, immune function, potentially mental health, and many other aspects of our functioning. And yet, because so many of us were brainwashed during the 20th century to imagine that all bacteria or most bacteria are dangerous. Many people approach the idea of growing bacteria on their food with great fear and anxiety. So really mostly what I do is help people to see how incredibly simple the process is and understand how safe the process of fermentation is.
Great. Why fermentation? Why is fermentation so great?
Well, I mean, fermentation is great for a number of reasons. First of all, your food is not decomposing into a disgusting, ugly mess that you have to discard in some way. And instead, you're making your food more delicious, more stable. You're making nutrients in your food more easily accessible. You're feeding into your body incredibly diverse communities of bacteria that can, enrich the whole environment within us that we're learning has so much impact on our, ability to function and our health and well-being. So, I mean, I think that there are so many great things about fermentation, but it's really a way of improving our food. Whatever the raw food is that's highly perishable, fermentation makes it more stable, gives it more pronounced flavor that some people will really love and some people will find a little bit scary maybe, pre-digest it in some way, making nutrients more available, in certain cases breaking down potentially toxic compounds. So I think that there are a lot of benefits. I mean, my own gateway to fermentation was flavor, and I think that, most of the most extraordinary flavors in the world, the most compelling delicacies, are products of fermentation, but not all of them. I just think that there's a lot of reasons to pay attention to fermentation.
And how did you start fermenting?
Well, like most people in the world, I grew up eating certain fermented foods, and I was really drawn to the flavor of sour pickles, fermented cucumbers. What really gave me a practical reason to start exploring fermentation is that I moved from New York City, which is where I was born and raised, to rural Tennessee 25 years ago and got involved in gardening. And so it's really the temporary abundance of the garden and what am I going to do with all of those cabbages that are ready at the same time that caused me to begin learning how to ferment things. And it just really captured my imagination. And, it was so easy. I couldn't believe how scary people found it. It was so practical. It was so delicious. It was so, beneficial to health. So, I've been experimenting with fermentation, exploring fermentation traditions from different parts of the world, sharing fermentation techniques with people ever since.
Great. And what's your favorite fermented food?
Oh, I hate having to think about my favorite fermented food.
It could be a couple.
Well, I mean, first let me say that I'm extremely devoted to fermented vegetables. Pickles, sauerkraut, kimchi, many other variations of that. And that's what I have, you know, made, I would say, the most frequently and taught people how to make the most frequently. But I'm not sure that I love sauerkraut and pickles more than I love beer or more than I love cheese. So, I mean, for me, one of the really exciting things about fermentation is how broad and diverse a realm of practice it is. And, you know, there's nothing we could possibly eat that could not be fermented. And so, I mean, sure, I love sauerkraut, I love beer, I love cheese, but more than any of the particular ferments, I mean, I just love, you know, the diversity of it and how, you know, microorganisms can enhance our food in so many wonderful ways.
Great. And fishing is really big here. Do you have any favorite fish ferments?
Well, sure. I mean, I have come to really love fish sauce. You know, fish sauce is a fish ferment. I mean, I think that that's an amazing flavor enhancer. I'm hoping that while I'm up here, I'm going to be able to learn a little bit something about some of the traditional native methods of fermenting fish, preserving fish. A year and a half ago, I had the opportunity to go to Japan. And of course, you know, the sushi that has gone global is only possible with high power refrigerators. And what I learned in Japan is that the more traditional styles of sushi involve fermenting fish in a bed of rice. And so I got a chance to, you know, sample a few different variations of fermented sushi. And then in China, I witnessed very similar kinds of traditions where freshwater fish were being fermented in a bed of rice with spices and salt. So, you know, it's something that I don't have a huge amount of experience with, but, you know, certainly something I'm extremely interested in.
Great. What's been your wildest fermentation experiment?
Well, I mean, when you start with the idea that anything can be fermented and see that sort of, you know, around the world, like so many different things are fermented in so many different ways. I mean, I don't think any of the things that I've ever attempted are really particularly wild. You know, sometimes I've tried to ferment things on the basis of very limited information. And I would say that my sort of scariest results that I've ever had came in my experiments with fermenting tofu, which is a huge thing, you know, particularly in China. But some of my early experiments with fermenting tofu, I ended up with yellow and red molds growing on the tofu. And you definitely don't want to eat anything that has bright colored molds like that growing out of it. But then eventually I got like the beautiful cloud-like white hairy mold to grow on the tofu and had good success fermenting tofu.
Great. So do you have any wisdom for Alaskans in particular?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, obviously in places with, you know, short growing seasons and these periods of abundance followed by a long period where you can't really grow anything. I mean, I think that fermenting the vegetables that you can grow would be a great practical type of fermentation. Certainly, I've had lots of great experiences incorporating small proportions of seaweed. You know, in with fermenting vegetables. In Korea, they almost always put fish in with the fermenting vegetables. So, you know, I think that those are, you know, some kinds of ferments that would be very, practical here. But, you know, I would think that, you know, people in Alaska, if they can access the foods themselves, could ferment anything. Any styles of fermentation. You know, the wisdom is already here. I mean, I would really be trying to learn about what the native traditions were, because there's an incredible amount of wisdom about how to use the resources that are so abundant here, and how to preserve them so that people can be sustained by them through the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And along those lines, in a place where food costs are so high, like Sitka, do you have any advice about how to use fermentation to address that?
Well, sure. I mean, fermentation is the, ultimate practice of, sort of trying to make efficient use of the food resources that are available to you. So, I mean, I certainly would start with, the things that are grown and caught here. And then beyond that, I mean, I think that, just sort of working with, the things that are overabundant. I mean, any place where they're bringing vegetables in, some proportion of the vegetables, they're throwing them out because they're not, selling them when they're fresh. So I think, anywhere, kind of tapping into the waste streams, the places, let's say the root vegetables that are starting to get soft, but they're still edible. Fermentation is a great and, practical way of making use of resources like that.
Well, great. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
That was KCAW's Rachel Cassandra talking with Sandor Katz, fermentation revivalist and author.